Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Seneca series on this beautiful, beautiful, blessed Pentecost Sunday. And we couldn't have scripted any better. We have with us today Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live, your live stream from Maryville, Tennessee. Yes, that's Maryville, Tennessee. Can't make this stuff up. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. Our prayer is going to be a supplication. Supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So grateful, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. I'm going to bring the sisters in right now. I'm going to ask them to unmute themselves. And once they do that, I'm going to bring them up.
You
And
hear us?
I can hear you. Yes.
Yay. Happy Pentecost.
Oh, Isa Delawa Tatlo Apat. Okay. We have four. Isa Delawa Tatlo
Apat.
Apat. Okay. Okay. I'm very forgetful, so I don't know much. So don't be impressed with my Tagalog. Sisters, blessed Pentecost. Are we without Mother today, or are we with Mother today? Oh, you're muted now, sister. Maybe your microphone's up.
Mother, she's
Okay.
in Garabandal right now with
Oh,
Sister
she's still there.
Gloria for
Okay.
the
Okay.
retreat. But
Wonderful.
she's definitely in our hearts. She's never away from us in the divine will. That's the beauty in divine will because, she's here with us in
Right.
spirit.
And we know from past experience, the fruit does not fall far from the tree. So we're just blessed to be together. You know,
We're
one
working on
thing,
it. We're working on it.
well, we all are. And when we think we're stopped working, that's when we have a problem. Sister, since I was thinking, today at Mass, and God's plan is in these times is to keep us alive ever since the fall of Adam. And we always hear the phrase that when Adam sinned, and Eve, we're talking about collectively both of them, that they lost everything. Well, it's partially, yeah, they did lose everything, but they didn't lose everything. God left the divine will in place to beat Adam's heart, to flow Adam's blood, and to breathe Adam's lungs. And he did that to keep us alive so that we can be alive and then, of course, to thrive. And he kept us there so that redemption would be possible. And now this era of sanctification, which is just incredible. But he tells us something very succinct, and this is something we all have to take very seriously, that we must be in the divine will to receive the multitude of graces that God wishes to bestow on us. He says it in a couple different passages, but the one I had in mind, let me see if I have it here, when he talks about that there are many graces that he must give to creatures, but that they first must come into the divine will. And sometimes if you're new to the divine will, that seems very ominous. How do I get into the divine will? Like, do I have to get to where Luis is? I mean, how am I going to do that? It's impossible. He made it very easy. In fact, in Father Annuzzi's book, The Splendor of Creation, he tells us that it's very, very obvious that anyone in the state of grace can enter immediately into God's eternal operation. That is our number one. That's step number one. Because once we're in the door, that's when God can give us everything. We've given that initial fiat. It's not going to be our last fiat, but it's our first fiat. He's waiting. He's watching us. Remember, he says he cannot keep his pupils off of us, but he's waiting for us, so to speak, to make the first move. And if we haven't really done it bona fidely, if we haven't done it wholeheartedly, why not start today? I mean, today's the birthday of the church. It placed our Blessed Mother at the helm in the absence of Jesus physically, and it's also, by the way, I have to mention this, It's my wife and my 32nd wedding anniversary today.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes.
Their 32nd wedding anniversary.
Yes. Yay. Yes. So I can tell you that my wife has survived 32 years with me. And if you ask her, she will concur with me quite wholeheartedly. But it's great to be together today, sisters. We're together on all these beautiful days, whether it be on Radio Maria or on Sunday. And again, we have to have fun. God says we have to enjoy this. We have to really want this. So we have to lose our nervousness, lose our tenseness. You know, even when we're reading the volumes, I find if I'm in a schoolroom type of environment where I've got a desk and a light on, I get tense. I can't really enjoy it. I can't get everything that God wants to give me. But when I relax a bit, I go on the couch, I bring the book, I bring a cup of tea, and you sort of, you know, it's a newfangled way of learning. He's taking us out of the universities, but yet bringing us into our own personal university with our own personal teacher, Jesus, our own personal mentor, Mary, and here we are. And we're together. That's what's so beautiful. Sisters, love you all.
Yeah. We will love you, Peter. We love everybody, and happy Pentecost, everybody. You know, I just listened to what's going on, and definitely this is a very joyful moment of the church, a birthday of our church. The Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. And when I think of Pentecost, I think of fire, you know, the fire on top of their head, but really it's also a fire within our hearts. Like you mentioned, through our baptism, through the sacraments, we partake in this life of Jesus, not just the divinity of Jesus, but in his humanity. And so this fire of love is always within our heart. We call it passion. Unfortunately, when we don't recognize what this passion is here, we tend to use it in a negative way. But everybody has this passion. Everybody is gifted with love of God. And so when we celebrate the Pentecost, it's really all about God's love in us, him partaking his love in us in the form of a fire, tongues of fire. And from these tongues of fire, from this love, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, we have this expressed in words, because we have to have words, the wisdom, fear of the Lord, understanding, you know, all the seven gifts of wisdom. But then there's also fruits. The fruits we read today at the reading, that the fruits are joy, peace, all these beautiful fruits that we receive from God himself. So like now, Mother Gabrielle Marie is not with us, but because we live our life in grace, you know, nothing that is merited by us, but in grace, loving each other, loving God first, and then loving our community with Mother not being here, but we feel her love with us. We don't feel like we are lacking anything. Our community, there's only four of us left here, but we feel so much joy. We feel so much peace, love. Even our sisters that are not here physically with us, we feel the unity. And that is the gift from the Holy Spirit, unity. And I would like to share with you, because in my meditation, this whole, because we've been praying the novena also to the Holy Spirit, the first novena, by the way, that the church has, you know, up in the upper room. And the word sticks to me was unity. And not long ago, Father Elijah, you know, we read this John 17 from John 17 when Jesus prayed. Okay, I'll let you this. Let me read to you this one phrase here from John 17. Jesus was praying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. And I've been thinking about this and meditating on this. What does it mean to be one with God? How can we possibly be one with God when we are creatures and we are fallen? We have fallen natures now after our sin, after this inherited sin, and we have weaknesses. But how can we possibly be one? Why would Jesus pray this oneness with him if this is not possible? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why would he pray that if it's not possible? Right. So I went through all the passages and I look for unity. And what does it mean to be united with God? Because basically one with God, as in Jesus is one with the Father. And then during Pentecost, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit in us, so that we can be one with him. But what does it mean to be united with him? And what does it take for this to happen? So I will read to you a passage from volume 23, October 16, 1927. And I'll read the passage from the question, what unity means. So Jesus tells Louisa and us, my daughter, my will possesses the unity. and one who lives in it lives in this unity. And do you know what unity means? It means one, a one that can embrace everything and everyone and can give everything because it encloses everything. My divine will possesses the unity of love and of all loves united together. It possesses the unity of sanctity and encloses all sanctities. It possesses the unity of beauty and encloses within itself everything beautiful that is possible and unimaginable. In sum, it encloses the unity of light, of power, of goodness, of wisdom. True and perfect unity, while being one, must possess everything, and this everything must be all of an equal strength, all immense and infinite, eternal without beginning and without end. Therefore, one who lives in it lives within the immense and gigantic waves it possesses, in such a way that the soul feels the empire of one strength of light, of sanctity, of love, etc. So in this one strength, everything is light for her. Everything changes into sanctity, into love, into power, and all things bring her the knowledge of the wisdom of this unity. Therefore, to live in it is the greatest miracle and the perfect carrying out of the divine life in the creature. The word unity means everything, and the soul takes everything by living it. You know, I think of unity, and we like to think that unity from among ourselves, communal unity, because we're talking about relationships here. The Holy Trinity is a relationship. There's a unity among themselves, but then we are also united among ourselves, whatever community we belong to. But I think first and foremost, before that even happens, is we have also to be a whole person. We cannot give what we don't have. So I have to also be united with myself, and that requires knowledge of self, and it requires healing of my brokenness. And so I can be whole again, and I can be united. My body is united with my soul. So what my soul desires, the body should follow what the soul desires, right? So I can't say, okay, my soul does this, but my body does what it wants to do. No, there has to be a unity of will with my body and my soul. And when there's unity in myself, I am healthy. Then I become the living tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, temple of the Holy Spirit. And when I am filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm in the state of grace and I'm whole, despite of my brokenness. That's why we avail the sacraments, the confession, you know, whatever, the Eucharist, especially our food, that in this unity, the healing, our wholesomeness of our person, and asking the divine will to live in us, then not even without even thinking about it, without even having to know, it's automatically given that we are going to live harmoniously among each other. Now, the world is so noisy. You know, we know that there's so many sufferings out there, so many disconnect among people. But when we live in the divine will, though we see it and we're very conscious of what's going on, we continue to have peace. We continue to have this confidence. Actually, the peace comes from the confidence, trust, and faith. Without faith, without confidence, without trust, we could lose pace. So we have peace and hope and joy. All of these comes from, first, humility. When we are humble, we know we cannot live our lives without God. And because God is taking over our lives, and without faith, we have confidence, and with this confidence that nothing happens in our lives that is not willed by God, and because God is so good, nothing happens in our life that is not good for us, then we can continue to live in peace. That's what unity for me in my meditation is, a wholesomeness of self. And then something happens around me, I remain to have the clarity of mind, clarity of heart, that all will be well. Feel free to interject anything, but
I'll just butt in really quickly. But you mentioned a couple of really exciting things. First of all, confidence. When we talk about the divine will, it's a bit of a paradox. Jesus says that we must possess. It's actually the main ingredient is confidence in order to form humility. And when you first think about it, you think about maybe overconfidence is an opposite of humility. No, it's confidence, knowing that you know and knowing that you know that you know. And that's, and you know the thing too, sister, to be united, Jesus tells us, all the other things you mentioned that, that Jesus talks about are true. But it all begins with truth. Mm-hmm. We all must be grounded in truth. Otherwise, unity is impossible. So, for example, if I see green and you see red, as close as we have a relationship and as much as we have in common, how can we be united with what we see? We cannot. And that's why it's so important to use the volumes, to use the hours of the passion, to use the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, you know, without creating our own work. Because, again, we're not sure of our own work. And that's one of the reasons, one of the issues that the South Korean bishops were having difficulty, they were having difficulty because they were reading the writings and the periodicals and white papers of a particular group that was injecting their own, innuendos and own opinions. And again, having an opinion is great. And that's when we're cynical. We think about what does that mean to you? And we can collaborate on that. And of course, the late Archbishop Pacheri tells us that when we're doing that, if we come to that crossroad and we have a theological question, we have to go to a priest and get the clarification just so that we don't go down the wrong road. So we must be united in truth. And I think all those other things, you're absolutely right. They're vital. Confidence is vital. And last but not least, I like to quote a one-liner from former President Ronald Reagan here in the States. And this is very important for each and every one of us really to be united. And Ronald Reagan stated, quote, "There is no limit to the amount of good you can do if you don't care who gets the credit," end quote. So this is it's a race, not to see who comes in first or second or third. It's a race to find out who will finish it. There's no placing in this. And when we're running the race, we have to make sure to stay in our lane, not to trip up our other souls that are with us, our brothers and sisters, whether inadvertently or intentionally. We cannot do that. So again, we're doing this collectively, but really this journey is individual. We're all going to take a slightly different route, but all roads lead to the divine will. Amen.
Yeah. It starts from within. You know, we cannot, like, again, we cannot give what we don't have. It starts from within. It starts from within our hearts. And, you know, I know this for myself. Why do I make wrong decisions sometimes? What makes me make mistakes in my decisions or even, you know, lose my peace? It is because I caught myself not discerning well, not listening to the Holy Spirit. I get distracted with so many worldly cares. So it's very important to have a discerning heart. We don't just listen with the ears when we listen to some person talking to us or whatever comments we read on the news or whatever. Not only that we listen through the ears, but most importantly, we listen with our hearts, listening hearts. And this is how we discern. I mean, we listen to a TOB, Theology of the Body and the Talk, about discerning, how to discern the Holy Spirit, you know, discerning heart, discerning the Holy Spirit, or discerning spirits. And it's a very good program, by the way. And it helps us understand why do we make mistakes sometimes in our making, decision making. And this is part of living in a divine will, because the Lord speaks to us very gently, very softly. And if we don't pay attention, that's why attentiveness is very important in living the divine will. Attentiveness and also attentiveness and focus. And so when we are attentive to the Holy Spirit, we listen, we discern where is this voice coming from. And what we heard from this talk is that when it's something that makes us feel disturbed, shame, or any negative feeling, we need to step back and say, where is this coming from? I know for sure that God loves me. I know for sure that God wants to give me peace and joy. And if I don't have that, something is not right here. Maybe this is not what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. Now, we do know that there is divine will and there's also permissive will. So again, you know, listening. And so when we feel kind of like negative, step back and say, where is this coming from? Be aware of what's going on in our hearts. be aware and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding, the wisdom. And then once, and then trust me, you know, the Lord gives me understanding, you know, why am I feeling this with this little light? It may be, you know, a memory. You maybe remember something, what happens, you know, because God can work in our memory and our imagination, our experiences, even feelings. And then with this understanding, with this awareness, then we get come to understand why. And then when we have the understanding, the next step is take action. You either reject that thought or you accept it. And like you said, moving. We have to move. The Holy Spirit cannot work in us unless we start to move. My spiritual director in Texas one time, he said, because I was discerning vocation in the religious life, and I keep telling him, oh, I feel like I have this vocation to enter religious life, but I'm not doing anything about it. You know, I was like, oh, continued what I was doing. And he said, you know, you will never know which religious community you're supposed to join unless you start moving. It's just like driving a car. When you drive a car, you're stable. You know, you have to turn up the engine, you have the engine running, and you cannot turn the car to either to the right or to the left unless you start moving the car. If you just skip steady and you turn the steering wheel, it's very, very difficult to turn. But when you start stepping the accelerator, start moving, even slowly, then you can feel the steering wheel moving. The car follows whatever directions you want it to lead. So it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. When we discern the Holy Spirit, when we believe the Holy Spirit, basically the Holy Spirit in our heart is like the divine will in our hearts. You want to live in the divine will? Then we have to move. We have to move, but with a listening heart, with a right discernment.
I like it also, you know, you talk about, you move the car, you got to start moving. That's right. But then we have to also be aware of our surroundings. So for example, if we're entering the highway and we're moving at 20 miles an hour and the speed limit is 65, you got to be up to par. You know, you could be dangerous if you're not moving at the same pace. You know, Our Lady and Our Lord, they mentioned the word run. They're constantly saying run. And last but not least, sister, one of the reasons I think that I fail, and again, we look at the Trinity, which are perfectly united. Yes, each person of the Trinity, they'll take a specific lead depending on what they're doing. Like, for example, at baptism, the Holy Spirit takes the lead, but they're united. And again, I think we run into problems. I know I do. When the intellect, memory, and the will, when they're out of sync, when one doesn't concur with the other two or two do not concur with the other one, we're not going to be doing God's will. And so I think that's one thing also that we need to pay attention to. I know I do. Hello, sister.
Hello. So connecting with what Sister Magdalena said about unity, it really goes well with Pentecost today, because all the apostles in the supper room, Our Lady was there too, they were all one heart and one mind. And I think it's also really important, especially for me, to remember, like, to be like attentive to like what the Holy Spirit is saying and like the present moment and like what Jesus is asking us each to do in each present moment. And really living in the divine will, it's also seeing God's love everywhere for us, even in creation. Like, there's several passages in the divine will that talk about seeing God's love everywhere. So I like to read from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, Day 30, where it talks about the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. Our Celestial Mother, then the time came for the descent of the Holy Spirit promised by my Son in the Cenacle. What a transformation, my child. As they were invested, they acquired a new science, invincible strength, ardent love. A new life flowed within them, which rendered them brave and courageous in such a way that they scattered throughout the whole world to make the redemption known and to give their lives for their master. I remained with beloved John and was forced to leave Jerusalem as the storm of persecution began. So when I read this part, it really reminded me of like a foreshadowing of like when everyone will receive the gift of the divine will, and when the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven, and just how we're all called to be like these divine will disciples in these different ways. And also, continuing, my dearest child, you must know that I still continue my magisterium in the church. There is nothing which does not descend from me. I can say that I pour myself out for love of my children and that I nourish them with my maternal milk. Now, during these times, I want to display an even more special love by making known how my whole life was formed in the kingdom of the divine will. So I call you onto my knees, into my maternal arms, so that, forming your ship, you may be sure to live in the sea of the divine will. Greater grace I could not give you. I beg you, make your mama content. Come to live in this kingdom so holy. And when you see that your will wants to have an active life, come and take refuge in the safe boat of my arms, saying to me, my mama, my will wants to betray me, and I deliver it to you, that you may put the divine will in its place. Oh, how happy I will be in being able to say, my child is all mine because she lives from divine will, and I will make the Holy Spirit descend into your soul, that he may burn away from you all that is human, and by his refreshing breath he may rule over you and confirm you in the divine will. So this also reminds me of how Our Lady is the mediatrix and co-redemptrix of all graces, and how we can run to Our Lady to help us to live totally in the divine will. And this also reminds me of a passage I read in Maria Voltorta about the Pentecost, which was very beautiful. So basically it kind of starts out like the strong wind came, and the strong wind was this heavenly beautiful music. And then then the Holy Spirit first like came upon Our Lady in this globe of light that looked like the sun, and that really reminded me of the sun of the divine will. And then from Our Lady, from this globe of light over Our Lady, all these little flames, there were all these little flames over the apostles' head. And I think that's just a really beautiful imagery there of like the sun of the divine will over Our Lady, and like the gift of the divine will like flowing from our Lord through Our Lady to each of us in these little flames. But now with the divine will, we can now ask Jesus to like relive his whole life in us in the way the apostles weren't able to, because I don't remember exactly which passage it was in the divine will writings, but Louisa asked Jesus like, why didn't you reveal these divine will truths to your apostles? And then Jesus said it's because like it was not the time yet, like the time of the apostles. Even during Pentecost, although they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was just the beginning of the church. And it's like, for example, first you teach a child the ABCs. So it was like the ABCs back then. And then later on in the history of the church, the Holy Spirit like revealed more things as the church matured and grew. And so that's why during this time, all these 2000 years, now we're so blessed to live in these times with the divine will, where we can be apostles of the divine will, because now we moved from the ABCs of like what Jesus was teaching to the apostles to now to like reading like novels, like metaphorically speaking. So I think it's just, we're so blessed to live in these times, and just the Holy Spirit's really moving and preparing the remnant to live in totally in the divine will.
Amen. You know, something that I also read, which is really astonishing about what Jesus says. He says, he says exactly a quote. Oh, if creatures knew the great good I am preparing, the surprises of love and the unheard of graces, end quote. I mean, do we believe that? If we believe that to come true, and God wants us to do a little bit of searching. He's not going to make it difficult for us. He says he doesn't know how to do difficult things. I mean, not that he doesn't, but he's not going to make it difficult for us. But he wants, again, how do we exemplify our desire? How do we prove to him that we want this gift? How do we enchant him? How do we move him? Remember, we were given this gift due to no merit of our own. It doesn't matter what we did or didn't do. We received the gift. Mystical gifts are not given equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given unequally to God's good pleasure. He gives it when he wants, to whom he wishes, to what level. So that in of itself was a miracle. That's happened already. Nothing that we did. But once we're introduced to this gift, now our work begins. We're sort of in the foyer. Are we going to explore the rooms? Are we going to take the sheets off the furniture that Adam threw on when he left, that when he got vacated, basically kicked out of the mansion? He wants to know how much we want this. And the more we want this, the more he's going to give to us. Everything is his divulging of his secrets, his truths, is commensurate to our desire. So we just have to make sure that we want this gift. And the best way, I think, to increase our desire for this gift is to know about it. Remember the old catechism, Baltimore Catechism, know God, love God, and serve God. Great order. The more we know God, the more we're going to want to love him, and we're naturally going to love him. And the more we love him, the more we're going to want to serve him. And now through the explication, the Article 66, now we know, to do all three of those, what's the best way to do it? To enter into the divine will, to freely elect using our human will to defer it to the divine will. It's all here. And it's also, it's actually so easy, it's difficult. Sisters? Uh-oh. That's a bad mic too, or maybe it's not turned on.
Hello.
Okay. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. It's me. Okay. You know, also I was meditating on about talking about unity and how also the great mission that we are called to now, that is the time of the Holy Spirit, the real bringing of what Jesus promised the apostles before departing and going to heaven. Like, I'm going to send the Paraclete who is going to talk to you about not about himself, but about the things that he knows from my Father. So now that this time is the Holy Spirit time, it's so beautiful because we're also called to the mission of corresponding that love that he's constantly talking about, Luisa, throughout the whole volume, the whole 36 volumes. And I was reading the other day, volume 18, the moans of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments. And it's really impossible for me to now realize how much he wants to be corresponded every time in our daily basis and how the church is going through a difficult time. But at the same time, the Lord has like a backup with all the divine will, sons and daughters that are opening their hearts to this gift of giving to him everything that maybe other creatures are not disposed to give to him yet. So what really brought me to like connecting to the unity of what Sister Magdalena was saying about he. So in this passage, I don't know if you have read it, but it goes to each sacrament of the Holy, that the Holy Spirit moves in, when the Holy Spirit moves in. And what really grabbed my attention was what you were saying, Peter, about being that image and likeness of God and how we are supposed to be that union with spirit and heart and flesh, how Adam and Eve was also in the beginning. And he is talking about how in the sacrament of marriage, how many, okay, I'm going to start reading. It's volume 18, November 5th, 1925. And then in the beginning, it says, my daughter, with your flight in my will, reach all the sacraments instituted by me, descend into the depths of them to give me your little requital of love. Oh, how many of my secret tears you will find, how many bitter sighs, how many suffocated moans of the Holy Spirit. His moaning is continuous before the many dissolutions of our love. The sacraments were instituted in order to continue my life on earth in the midst of my children. But alas, how many sorrows. This is why I feel the necessity of your little love. It may be small, but my will make it great. My love does not tolerate for one who must live in my will, not to associate herself with my sorrows and not to give me her little requital of love for all that I have done and that I suffer. Therefore, my daughter, see how my love moans in the sacraments. And then further down, he says, lend us the ear of your heart and listen to our profound moans in the sacrament of marriage. How many disorders in it. Marriage was elevated by me to a sacrament in order to place in it a sacred bond, the symbol of the sacrosanct Trinity, the divine law which it encloses. So the law which was to reign in the Father, Mother, and children, the concord, the peace, was to symbolize the celestial family. I was to have on earth as many other families similar to the family of the Creator, destined to populate the earth, like as many terrestrial angels, to then bring them back to populate the celestial regions. So for me, this is really powerful, and it goes through all the sacraments, and it's really moving now that he's really explaining. Like right now is the month of the confirmation and of confirmations, and all that the Holy Spirit wants to give us is love and life. So now that we have that in knowledge, it's really a gift for us because we are really in gratitude giving that love back to Him and realizing the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the giver of life. He is the giver of life who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With that love that it moves everywhere and in anything in our souls. And also, it's so amazing how He has never left us. Like, even though we have original sin when we are born, He is in us. So the baptism is like that awakening of the Holy Spirit. And it is our responsibility and from our part to allow Him to grow and to multiply and to be really the master of our lives. And that unity that we're talking about is also what He's saying here. I mean, families are supposed to be the image and likeness of the sacrosanct Trinity, which is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So we are really, we should be really grateful to have the knowledges of this new, I don't even know how to say it, like this new evangel. It's not a new evangelization. It's just the addition of, like the extension of, the extension of.
I'd say probably the what you call the fruit, like the from the flower into the fruit, the maturity.
The maturity of the tree, the fruits. And really take it into account that even though, like I see it like this, even though we ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, patience, kindness, and all these things that we have been reading from the past, also ask the Holy Spirit to give you His life. The divine will that possesses everything, that contains everything. And I was also, I have another reading that it says, this is from volume 19, May 3rd, 1926. And it says, this is why the greatest thing we could give to the creature was our will. And in it, we centralize our whole being. Could there be a love more intense, a miracle more sensational than this? Even more, as much as we can give to the creature, it seems nothing to us compared to giving her our will, reigning and dominating in her. In fact, the other things we can give her are the fruits of our works, of our dominions, while by giving her our will, it is not fruits, but our very life and our very dominions. What has more value, the fruits or the life? Certainly the life, because by giving the life of our will, with that, we give the fount of all our goods. And one who possesses the fount of goods does not need the fruits. Even if the creature gave us everything or made the greatest sacrifices, but did not give us her little will in order to let ours reign, she will still give us nothing. Even more, when things are not produced by our will, as great as they might be, we look at them as extraneous to us, as things which do not belong to us. Now, I'm not saying not to ask the Holy Spirit for patience. I'm always asking for that. But transform it as a way of, you know, more than that. Like, not only keeping patience, because, I mean, me, I'm not capable of just being patient. Like, even I ask, I'm like, ugh. But transforming that gifts and that fruit on the palpitating life of the divine will and that fruit of the Holy Spirit. And by thinking that way, it's like really helpful, at least for me, it's really helpful. Because it makes me focus more on Him. And if tomorrow I fail to be patient because I don't know, I couldn't do it, I don't dwell on that anymore like as I used to do before. When I used to fail in these little virtues, I used to ponder like, oh my gosh, I failed again. I was not capable of doing this. I didn't love. But now the Lord is like, focus on me and do not take it as that you fail, but that I'm substituting for you. And that my life is continuously moving on you, and I take it as if you did it right. So we're really blessed, and really this time of Pentecost is just overwhelming. We were in mass looking at each other like we just wanted to like because it's so beautiful. It's just so much. It makes your heart to explode if you really appreciate these things, because it's just amazing how the Lord, even after His ascension, He still gave us His Holy Spirit, and He's here, and He's bringing the divine will, and He wants for it to reign.
I just would like to remember, sister, when you mentioned about it, there's no shame in living the divine will. Even if I make mistakes, you know, there's no shame in it, because God, in His love, he doesn't want us to feel very, very bad about ourselves, because like Sister Faustina mentioned earlier, you know, God will take, I mean, for as long as we allow him to live in our soul, all these little problems that we have, he takes care of it. He transforms it. We just have to really think of him and love him.
Yeah, if you have a little tense morning, like when you wake up, just look in the mirror. And instead of seeing yourself, see a big salmon, the fish. Because in essence, that's what we are. We're going against the current. We're going upstream. All the other fish are going past us. See, everyone's playing a different game than we are now. We all Catholics started in the same realm. And from some humor that God has, he's entrusted us with this gift. He's introduced this gift to us. And again, it's very few. He said this is very few in the beginning. He said, but the fact that he's called us all, we should never have a bad day again. So again, if you're having a difficult morning, look in the mirror and say, well, I look like a pretty good salmon today. Because we are. We're going against stream. Everything that's going against, everything that's going bad in the world, if you think about it, it's all against all the good things in life. Take marriage, for example. Why is there an attack on marriage? It's not really the attack on marriage. It's an attack on God. And this is not about Republican, Democrat, pro, con, you know, conservative, liberal. No, everything is an attack on God, just being played out on the stage by minions, by using souls to play it out. It's all an attack on God. It's going to get tough, but we have to, like you said, sister, at Mass, you have to look at each other, you have to smile, you have to laugh and just say, I can't believe I'm here. But God has put me here. He knows what I can do. I don't know what I can do, but God knows what we can do collectively. And everything's going to be okay. And I really do believe that. And if we trust that, I think we're going to be happy salmon. And there's nothing better than a happy salmon. Oh, I think your microphone's off also. Is this the same microphone or is it multiple microphones not working?
No, it's just a couple different microphones. I think I'm also taking over for Sister Gloria, so it might be a technical issue. I don't know.
Not technical. No, because we've got three microphones that have to go back to the manufacturer. They came dead on arrival, but there's 16 right. microphones, so maybe we can just take those three and just put a piece of tape on and say, do not use. And I'm still waiting for them to get back to me on the return policy, but we'll figure that out later.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. It's really beautiful. We were all just having a wonderful experience with Jesus at Mass, and I felt like, wow, like, you're so happy you can cry. So I was like internally, I was like, this is just so beautiful. And got it. Yeah, it's just a special year. And I think people have kind of, with all these different supernatural signs and natural signs with the northern lights, we tried to watch those here. But ended up, we didn't watch it. We didn't see it, but we saw all these beautiful lightning bugs because we're out in the country and it was just so beautiful. Anyway, and it's so apropos because Sister Faustina's passage was the one right before mine, actually, from May 6th. And I was like, oh, are we in the same spot I'm reading? And it's all about, yeah, well, I'll just start reading it, but all about Louisa fusing herself in the divine will, and then Jesus talking about Our Lady to become like her. And so Louisa is saying, I was fusing myself in the holy volition according to my usual way, and I prayed the celestial mama to be with me and to give me her hand, so that guided by her, I might requite my God with all the love, the adoration, and the glory that everyone owes him. Now, while I was saying this, my beloved Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, you must know that first before the supreme majesty are those who have lived in my volition and who have never gone out of my will. My mama came into the world after 4,000 years, yet in the eyes of God, she came before Adam. I'll just pause there because I think that's just so amazing how in the divine will, all of our actions, everything that we do is in a sense, all God's action in his first act that we get to put our actions with him. And Our Lady, who Mama Mary did it perfectly. And so we have her as a great example and role model and intercessor. And especially with Pentecost, I think about how Our Lady was probably the one who initiated the novena, you know, asking us to pray. And she was the one leading the apostles from the beginning. Jesus allowed, God wanted her as his mother. And so in a sense, like we are united with her, especially in the Holy Spirit, being religious sisters too. It's like we're married to the Holy Spirit, like Our Lady was, and each soul is called to that in its own calling. And it's just overwhelmingly beautiful to think about. And with the divine will, it's like, yeah, there's this flame that, and the deacon at Mass today at Fatima was talking about how, you know, we each have the light of the Holy Spirit through baptism, through the sacraments, through being children of God. But how often, maybe because of just the culture or not thinking about God or just forgetting our Creator and the love that God has for us, that flame, instead of being a light to other people, is just grows dim. And that can happen, you know? And so it's really beautiful to be able to come back to these truths in the divine will, to be able to be fed with more fire of the Holy Spirit, to be re-enkindled and to fall more and more in love with the Lord and Him loving us. So it's just, yeah, it's really beautiful. And then every time, I know for me, it's like every time I open up the Book of Heaven or Our Lady's book for the month of May, especially, I just feel like this overwhelming sense, okay, like God, like He sees me, He hears me, like He knows me, He loves me, and there's nothing I can do, like no sin, that no mistake, nothing that can separate me, you know, from Him, and that I can't go running back. And especially with the gift of confession and the gift of just our own repentance in our hearts, that we can come back into that communion, that perfect communion, that through the Holy Trinity and through the church, like one body, Christ is our head, Our Lady is the neck, the connection, that we get to live this heaven on earth while we're here. Yeah. And I guess it's just that requital of love. I don't know if there's something else I was going to share, but, yeah. I just was going to share this part too at the end of this passage from volume 19. Therefore, the origin of one who lives in my will is eternal, inseparable from her Creator and from all those in whom my will has had its kingdom and its dominion. So it's this inseparability that we get to live out, that we get to always, yeah, just live out of this place of love and life, and the creativity, the newness, the freshness of each moment. I think that's something that always astounds me too, is like we were talking earlier about, you know, we're taking this TOB, Theology of the Body course, and talking about how desire, a lot about desire, about how we have this heart, you know, that longs for God, that's made only for Him to satisfy, and how amazing God, you know, He's just infinite wisdom, that He knew exactly how He's given us such great gifts here on earth, but nothing satisfies. You know, there can be these longings that we, you know, we reach out, maybe instead of praying, we want to just like do something else, you know, go anywhere else but talk with the Lord. And then we do that other thing, and then we realize like that was, you know, then we, yeah. And then we realize, oh wow, like that really didn't fill that void, you know, like that didn't do anything for me. That just made it worse. Yeah. Short lived.
Doesn't.
Yeah. Pleasure. And so, yeah. And then but you see too, like in the divine will, the more that we're striving to live this way, we see everything, we see food, we see creation, we see other people, and we just fall in love with how God has made everything so incredible, and how it's a little taste of heaven here on earth too, and how other people can share God. I think that's something that's a great gift of like family life, is how fathers and mothers, and you know, in their proper order, can share God's paternal and maternal love with us, to help us to live in that too. So yeah, it's just been a lot of beautiful graces. And I just know Our Lady, especially on this day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit are just infusing us with more and more desire to live in this life, and the grace to, you know, forget ourselves and focus on God.
Yeah. I mean, we're surrounded with grace. If you think about, you know, you were mentioning about, you know, the food and everything else that is in creation. You know, Jesus tells us very succinctly, He tells us in volume 21, this is really interesting, April 22nd, 1927, He says, however, it behooves you to know that all creation and each created thing instructs man. They narrate our divine qualities, and each one of them offers instructions on the quality it contains, end quote. So basically everything that Adam and Eve had, you know, they knew all the properties of all the animals, all the sciences, that's slowly coming back. Creation saying, look at me, ponder. Don't worry, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to infuse that. I don't like to use that word, infuse. I'm going to provide that insight to you. And it's as if, think about it, it's as if that when God loved his children so much that he gave us trillions and trillions of little sticky notes all over our lives, from the food we eat, we see, the trees, the sun, the comfy couch you're sitting on. Everything is a grace from God. So again, everything, all created things, narrate their divine qualities, I guess, if we're attentive, if we're listening, if we're allowing God to speak to each and every one of us. It's incredible.
Yeah, I would like to add again, because this whole topic that we've been talking about centralized on the unity and oneness with God. We mentioned fire, we mentioned love, we mentioned, you know, desires. And these all are beautiful words that all centralize in one word, that is love. And when you speak of love, it is community, communion, relationship, fraternal relationship, family. And so if when we think about these images, that's what we're called for. You know, we're called to be in communion with God. And it started from our fathers, Adam and Eve. And so I would like to share with you another passage here, which is in volume 23, February 20, 1928. Again, it talks about unity. And we mentioned earlier, I think one of us mentioned about centralization. Because if mother was here, she would say, do acts and rounds in the divine will. We're putting I love you in everything that we see in creation. This is only possible when we live in the divine will. What that means to me, and I think for most of us, if we understand it this way, is the centralization is basically living in the divine will. We have the divine will in our heart, the Holy Spirit in our heart. That is what means centralization. So I will read to you this passage. Jesus talks about centralization, centralizing divine will in us. He said, my daughter, and he was teaching Louisa, because apparently Louisa was so kind of like did not understand completely. So he had to explain more to Louisa what it means to be in union with God, in union with the Holy Spirit, in the divine will. My daughter, you have not comprehend well what unity means. And I think this is me too. He told me I did not comprehend. So I'm learning from this. He said, unity means centralization and origin of all acts of creatures, past, present, and future. So before sinning, when he possessed our unity, Adam enclosed within his thoughts the unity of all the thoughts of creatures, the unity of all words, works, steps. Therefore, I would find in him, in my unity, the origin, the continuation, and the end of all the acts of the human generations. And if I remember this correctly, Peter, correct me, because I don't remember which passage, but I heard mother mention before during one of the lessons, or probably even sharing here in one of our cenacles, mother mentioned that before the fall of Adam, he was totally united with the divine will. And it's mentioned here in the passage. But when he fell, he did not lose those acts and rounds that he did before the fall. Because once it's there, it can never be lost. So even though he fell, he never lost what he had from the very beginning. And I think when I meditated on this, and I think that what saved us. Because God is so generous.
And saved him.
Yeah.
And saved him. Yeah, they did. They
yeah, lived in saved perpetuity. Him and saved us. Because right. God right. never forgot what he did before the fall. God took right. it into account. That's why when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God immediately, the Father immediately said, I'm going to send you another new Eve, basically our Blessed Mother. And we know what that story about that, a new Eve and Adam. That's why God was able to promise us hope. In Blessed Mother and Jesus, the Son of God, precisely because of Adam's acts in divine will prior to the fall. So that despite of what he did, Jesus, God in his generosity, he even did more than what he could have given to Adam and Eve. He gave us more because now we no longer just live in his grace, but in his mercy. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm a sinner. And I know what it means to receive mercy, to whom much is, you know, like the more debt indebted the person, the more mercy we receive. And I can definitely say that I can rejoice more. I can enjoy more because I received mercy. And out of that mercy, my heart is expanded for gratitude. I would have not been able to be so grateful have I not recognized my fault. If I always thought and convinced myself that I've never sinned, that I'm always good, that I'm always perfect, how can I truly be grateful? And if I'm not grateful, how can I be happy? I would never be happy. Gratitude brings joy. Think of anybody who is not grateful and happy. And in our personal experiences, the reason why we are happy is because we are grateful. We are grateful for everything that God has given us. We are content, but actually more than just content. We are oversatisfied. We're speaking of sisters earlier, speaking about at Mass, you know, the deacon who gave the homily did so beautifully about this little fire in our heart. This little fire, if we don't do something about this little fire, it gets smaller and smaller to the point where it gets cold and it doesn't give us warmth. So in order for this flame to grow in our heart, this desire to love, the desire to love God, we need to put it into action as well. It's not just a concept. Don't just intellectualize it and theologize, but we really have to put it into action. And how does we show? Is through service. We serve God by serving one another. And how do we serve one another? It can come in different forms. But most importantly, as far as I am concerned, is mercy. Be merciful to one another. Be forgiving. From that mercy, from that forgiveness, we experience joy. And when we experience joy, we have our desire to help, our desire to be kind, our desire to be generous to give goes with it. Because we could never do anything good to ourselves and to one another without the desire. Right. But this desire grows. It grows as we do more, the more it grows. The more we desire, the more it expands our heart and the more it's giving us so much capacity. You see, God gives us according to capacity, but we have to cooperate in that grace. We have to cooperate with God's work so that he can enlarge our heart, and the bigger our heart, it can receive more. And the more we receive, the more we want, and the more we receive, the more we want. And then hopefully, you know, we experience ecstasy here on earth. The joy and love of God, that is to me the most beautiful thing. One time the sisters were eating at the table today and we had such a beautiful meal, you know, simple, but we enjoyed every we had the masala. And so we really enjoyed it, and salad and simple food. But we were talking about, you know, we are having a good time just eating this meal. And we realized that really when we offer all of this, even Jesus, eat in our eating, act in our everything, that what we're doing basically is turning it into liturgy. Because as Benedictines, we learn that liturgy in Benedictine's tradition is ora et labora, right? So we pray with our mouth, we pray with our actions. Everything is converted into prayer. So when we talk of liturgy, we sometimes think, okay, going to Mass, we have the liturgy of the word, we have the liturgy of the Eucharist, we go to divine office, okay, we pray the Psalms, that is a liturgy. But in the true sense of the word, if we live in the divine will and Jesus is living in us, the Holy Spirit is in our soul, everything that we do is liturgy. Eating, sleeping, resting, it turns into liturgy. What does it mean? Liturgy, prayer. And we enter into this communion of Jesus, because Jesus is not only divine, he's also human. So we can pray perfectly in unity with the Holy Spirit through our flesh. So when we move our flesh, we eat, everything that we do, there's no shame. Like today, we really enjoyed our food. But Jesus, we remembered, one of our sisters shared with us that by this joy, by this gratitude that we feel, is repairing those, past, present, and future, who received the same gift, but did not pay attention, and therefore they failed to thank God. And they turn into grumbling. Oh, I'm not happy with this. I wish I have more. I wish I have this. They tend to kind of look for something that they did not have because they failed to see the present moment, the gift of the present moment. And so I just would like to share this because it really gives me so much joy that this gift of the divine will is very important. And again, I have to plug in Mother here because we really learn from her. Her simple explanation, but very profound. To live in the divine will is to do acts and rounds out of love of God, not just to really so that I can become saint, so that I can, you know, accomplish higher, because sanctity is not an accomplishment. Holiness is not an accomplishment at all. I should not desire
the requisite
to live in the divine will so that I could accomplish higher level, you know, so that I could go to level 4 in divine will. No, you know, sanctity is not an accomplishment. It's not an achievement, but it is sanctity is basically our life. It is life in God. That's simple. It's just simply that way. Sister, anybody want?
Well, really quickly, you mentioned about it's really important about, you know, God allowing us to know. Well, first of all, Jesus says, I don't have the passage in front of me. He says the two greatest things he can do for us is to make us more aware of who God is and more aware of who we are. And we know the reason why we need to know God. Again, know God, love God, serve God. But the reason why it's important to know ourselves is he's allowing us to see ourselves as we are. How else can we view our defects? How else can we see what's broken? How else can we see where we need work? I mean, we can't allow our brothers and sisters to do that. A lot of times they won't do it. Like, for example, my drinking buddies are not going to tell me probably, oh, you're drinking too much. Or golfing buddy, I don't play golf, but if I was a golfing buddy, my golfing buddies aren't saying, hey, you know, Pete, you're playing too much golf. No, because they're right part of it. So God gives us this pluralistic view of it, this honest perception, and now we know where our defects are, and now we can start exercising our virtues. And that's why God's going to put all these obstacles, all these barricades in front of us, all these, again, you talked about the permissible will, it's all to help us grow, because again, we need to exercise these virtues until we get to the top, and then once they're exercised fully, we know we're living perfectly and completely in God's most holy divine will. Oh, you're muted again, sister.
I just want to plug in just one more time. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Because that reminded me of one more thing. You know, like we did mention about how is the single act that we do, how can it affect past, present, and future? And we heard this before, but I just would like to say this again, is that because God is outside of time, he created time. So that's why it is possible to affect all generations, past, present, and future, precisely because of that reason.
Perfect. Now you're muted, sister. Is your microphone on?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry. I think that wasn't working. Yeah, I was going to say.
Gotta put a piece of tape on that one. You said, do not use. I'll follow up on that too, try to get these microphones back.
Yeah, sorry. So I was saying that what Sister Magdalena said about how God is outside of time, it really reminds me of like the That Which Awaits Us book, the private revelation that talks about like how like everything is present in act, because after I read that book, Jesus really, Jesus allowed me to read that book to help me understand like the divine will more, especially when Jesus tells Louisa like kind of like things relating to like how everything is like present in act. And at first I didn't understand that, but then after I read this book, I understood like, oh, that makes sense. Like, for example, like the Pentecost time, like that time is still present in God's time. Like for us, that's past, because that was like around 2000 years ago, but in heaven it's still present and in act right now. And it's so beautiful, because in the divine will we can just bilocate to that time of Pentecost. And I believe that also like all the children of the divine will, they're present just doing their acts arounds there, which is just really beautiful. So we can just bilocate even in the nativity, like the children of the divine will were there. And just, it's so beautiful. Like even when we meditate on the rosaries, we can like place ourselves there in the divine will at each mystery of the rosary, and just I'm placing our I love you and thank you, and making reparation for like all the lack of gratitude. And also, Peter, speaking about the sticky notes, I really love that analogy a lot, like the sticky notes that God gives us. And that also reminds me of how there's like different color of sticky notes. Like, for example, there's like yellow sticky notes, maybe to remind you of something urgent, or maybe there's like purple sticky notes to remind you to do something creative, or blue ones, or yeah. And also that kind of reminds me of this passage I would like to read, where it kind of talks about creation. So in volume 36, July 18th, 1938, Jesus tells us through Louisa, "Now you must know that my love is not satisfied if I don't do and give new surprises of love to one who lives in my will, and if I don't add new things to reveal to her. So, my daughter, my celestial father generated me when I loved you, and I loved him, and in that love I loved you too. Because my will was bringing you along, always present. I generate continuously, and in the ardor of our love as Father and Son, the Holy Spirit proceeded. And in that ardor, I also loved you from a continuous love. I created the whole creation, and for each thing I was creating, I loved you first. Then I created it, laying it in your service. And this reminds me of how God created everything for love of mankind, like everything God created for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God created that out of love for them. And in each created thing, we can see these, we can see the different attributes of God, the echo of God's love. Like, for example, we have Match the Cat in the house. We can really see like, kind of like the gentleness of God, like one of God's attributes through her, and like, and like how she wants us to pet her and love her. And that reminds me of like how Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, he wants us to love him. And it's really like Jesus wants us to love him. And it's kind of like that Bible verse in 1 Corinthians, like love is patient, love is kind. And then it's kind of like what St. Paul says, like, if I have all these gifts and fruits, but if I don't have love, then I'm nothing. Sterile. So it's so important to like to see God's love everywhere in different ways in creation and throughout our lives, and that's the beauty of just reading the divine will, because it expands our capacity to love the way God loves. And when we allow Jesus to love in us, then we'll allow the Holy Spirit to operate fully in us, because the more we are lacking in love, then the more we're blocking the Holy Spirit from being in our lives. So I also think it's really important to ask Jesus, to ask God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to come love in our loving, and to help us to live just totally in the divine will, loving the way God wants us to.
And that's important also to know, sister. Thank you for that reflection that, you know, it's in our catechism. Article 66 states, I know we've mentioned this, that although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given. So this is all new to us, but it's always been there. And then 67 defines the role of the mystic. The role of the mystic is not to complete or perfect public revelation, but rather to make it better understandable in a certain period of time, which is great and cool. Last but not least, Sister Jacinta mentioned about the book, That Which Awaits Us. If anyone wants to get a copy of that book, it's free on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, on the page entitled Divine Will Resource Library. It's quite nice. Sisters?
Talking also about the eternal act that Sister Magdalena was talking about, like how, and Jacinta, about how everything is present in eternity. I want to share this from volume 19 as well, which is really beautiful. And it says, I remain frightened and more afflicted than before. And I pray to Jesus to give me the grace to fulfill his most holy will. And my beloved Jesus, as though wanting to cheer me, came out from within my interior and squeezing me tightly to his most holy heart, infused new strength in me. At that moment, the heavens opened, and I heard everyone say in chorus, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. I don't know how, but it was my turn to answer, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. But who can say what was happening? In the word Father, one could see the creative power flowing everywhere, preserving everything, giving life to everything. The mere breath of this word was enough to maintain everything he had created intact, beautiful, and ever new. In the word Son, one could see all the works of the word renewed, ordered, and all in act of filling heaven and earth to give themselves for the good of creatures. In the word Holy Spirit, one could see all things being invested with a speaking, operative, and vivifying love. But who can say everything? I felt my poor mind immersed in the eternal Beatitudes, and my adorable Jesus, wanting to call me back into myself, told me, My daughter, do you know why it was your turn to say the second part of the Glory Be? Since my will is in you, it befitted you to bring the heir up to heaven, in order to give in the name of all, together with the celestial court, that glory which will never end, world without end. Eternal things which never end can be found only in my will, and one who possesses it is in communication with heaven. This soul takes part in everything they do in the celestial regions, and she is as though in act together with the celestial blessed. Isn't it that amazing? It's just, oh my gosh, we are constantly repeating glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And how these beautiful knowledges that are being poured upon ourselves now gives meaning to everything that I've been saying over and over again. It's just beautiful. And how we go back to what we've been telling about, like Sister mentioned again, the love of the Holy Spirit, that fire of love who is inside of us. What is it when you say Holy Spirit? Is you? She saw the things being invested with a speaking, operated, and babyfying love. So it's just so amazing how it's just, yeah, it's like repetition of the same, but at the same time, it's always new. And it gives that meaning. The TOB we were listening to, the priest was saying about the isolation in the desolation, mm-hmm. and how to overcome that is to give meaning to what you are doing. And when you give meaning to that doing, you forget about the desolation, mm-hmm. because you are piercing through the meaning of, why am I feeling this way? Oh, why is it that I'm going through this? No, just getting stuck on the feeling or on the sensation of desolation and isolate yourself. Mm-hmm. But giving meaning of, oh, maybe, I don't know, I'm suffering from this. But why? Oh, because the Lord wants me to suffer this for the salvation of other souls, or obviously for my own sanctification and for the redemption of more souls. And now in the divine will, to repair and to take all of these acts of all creatures with the seal of love of the Holy Spirit, the divine love. And also I was thinking the other night, sometimes you just open Google and there's news like that pops out in the screen. And I've been noticing that a lot of young people, you know, they are really into TikTok and to all this like social media. And one of them, he was 24 years old. And he was, I think he was from Italy, but he lived in New York. And he died from cancer. And they made like a memorial for his life. And they posted a lot of like pictures, like his girlfriend posted a video of him. And one of them, he's really struggling. And he's really like complaining about the suffering and about, I don't want to be here. And this is so unfair. Why God did this to me? And I was just thinking like, this is a calling also to take those pains that unfortunately some people don't know how to deal with them because they don't have God in their lives. But we have that opportunity of divinizing that suffering and fusing it into Jesus' suffering. And now that he passed away, we can just give to his soul those new, you know, lives that maybe he couldn't have on earth because he had no knowledge of it. But now that his soul is he's not dead, like he's more alive because he now passed from this earth to the other one, he can know now the best way to suffer. And I think that it's really, yeah, beautiful that we also are part of this militant church and purgative church and celestial church. Is just one heart, one love. Yeah.
I just would like to, I'm so grateful, sister, that you mentioned that, because really when we talk about, you know, living in the divine world, we only think of joy, all this, but in reality also we also experience desolation. There's consolation and desolation. There is no joy when we don't feel sadness. So it balances our life. It has to be, there's some moments where we are sorrowful, there's moments where we are joyful, but it has to be there. And so I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because we learned also from this talk on theology of the body on discernment, basically the how to discern, how not to isolate ourselves when we feel desolation, is that, like she mentioned, think of the fruits. Don't just focus on the feelings and the emotions and all these negative thoughts. You know, don't sit there, step back and, you know, be aware where it's coming from and what it is. And sometimes it's just God permitting it. God does not cause us to suffer, but he permits it for our own good. So by thinking that way, by thinking of the fruits, then the sadness turns into gratitude. And when we are grateful, we can feel joy even in the midst of suffering.
You're right. And, you know, you mentioned about all those words, Asians and desolation. One word that came to mind is restoration. And if we think about it, this entire gift of the divine will is a restoration of what?
A reparation.
Yeah, restoration and a reparation. And he says that really, I mean, we're ill. We fell ill when Adam and Eve sinned. Volume 30, January 17th, 1932. I'll be really quick, I promise. Jesus speaking, are the many knowledges of my will perhaps not remedies? Each manifestation and word that I speak is a fortress that I place around the weakness of the human will. It is a food that I prepare. It is a bait, a taste, a light to make them reacquire their lost sight. End quote. So everything we're experiencing, you mentioned about the permissible will. Never neglect the permissible will. Don't curse it. God promises that he'll only make a greater good come about, something that perhaps looks not so good at the time. I personally experienced that a couple different times. And I saw what God did from something that looked horrific. And then, of course, he gives you so many gifts that are hidden. And again, once we find them, we have that sort of aha moment. We think of God. That's how we have that silly smile on our face. You know, you really know divine willies when you see them on the street, because there are very few of them. They have a silly smile on their face. Why are they smiling? I mean, I get that all the time. I'm at the supermarket. Why are you smiling? There's a long line. I start talking about the divine will. Yeah, every opportunity we have to share our peace. But again, many do not want to hear it. And that's okay. We can do our acts and rounds. Let God drip down that dew to all souls, past, present, and future, to give them that disposition. See, I always thought disposition was knowledge. That's part of it. The desire is the more prominent ingredient in that role. So we need to be disposed. We need to want this gift. How do we want this gift? The more we know about it, the more we want it. And that's why we're here. Great job, sisters.
Amen. Beautiful. Yeah. This is from, this passage is from volume 30, November 16th, 1931. And it's talking about how each act, human act, is a game, a pledge in order to win the celestial graces. The human act is soil in which the divine will sows its seed. How love constitutes a right. And and so this is when Jesus is speaking. My sweet Jesus seemed to be pleased in hearing my nonsense. And I said to myself, this is Louisa, after all, I am little and just newly born. If I speak nonsense, it is not a big deal, but rather one is to make allowances for me, because the little ones are prone to speak nonsense. And many times, dear Jesus delights in the nonsense spoken out of pure love. He takes the occasion to give a little lesson, as in fact he did. Visiting my little soul, he told me, my little daughter of my will, indeed, everything that passes between the creator and the creature, the acts that she does and what she receives from God, serve to maintain the correspondence for them to know each other more, so as to love each other more, and to keep up the game between each other, as to obtain the intent of what God wants from the creature and what she wants from God. And I just thought that was so beautiful in describing how it's like a competition of love, in a way that, you know, the Lord is obviously given so much of his love and so generous. And that whole return, reparation back, that restoration of the love that he has been desiring, because he made himself vulnerable in that, in his gift of our free will, for us to be able to choose that. And like Sister Faustina was saying, and I think that we were listening to a podcast a while ago about this too, about how those moments of sufferings that people have forgotten, ourselves, that we've forgotten to praise and thank the Lord and put our love yous on it and given it back to the Father, because we're in the divine will, that we're able to even go back to the past and put that in the divine will. It's amazing. God's perfect ways of how he can restore just our everything in his will. And how each act that we do is like a little, I love you back, you know, that his love, that we get to, it's like, it's that eternal
eternal act,
like a reciprocal of love. Yeah, it's a reciprocal of love. Sister, can you, I'm sorry, can you mention again the passage and the volume that you just read?
Yeah, November 16th, 1931. I believe it's from volume 30.
Okay, thank you. Beautiful. Sometimes we have to hear a passage through someone else's eyes. And so something like something sparked me there. And again, it's going to happen. We may have read the same passage and we got something out of it. And now we're going to get some. See, this keeps, it's alive. Just like the gospel is alive. It's never
going to
stop.
It's a gift that keeps giving.
Yeah. That's right.
Every time we read it.
Yeah. I just would like to, because all the it's a theme under love, you know, like it's love, 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 fire of love, passion of love. And it's just kind of like, you know, we, the sisters and I were talking about, you know, we go to adoration and we listen to this talk again. One lady, a consecrated virgin, mentioned about, you know, desires. But then we desire to go to adore the Lord before the Blessed Sacrament. We go, we do that. We desire, we go and we love Jesus there. But she said, actually, we should be doing more than just going to adore the Lord. You know, we go there, yes, we adore him in the Blessed Sacrament and the Eucharist, but we should be doing more than that. And us knowing the divine will, the best way to adore the Lord is to acknowledge his presence in us. Acknowledge his presence in us. And this delight that we feel, the joy that we feel that he is living in us, is in a way an adoration that the Lord experience more joy, because he mentioned to us that, you know, the bread in the form of the bread and the Eucharist cannot talk back, cannot respond, you know, like a soul would do. So she was right. You know, I forgot her name. We forgot her name, but she was so right that when we go to adoration, we have to remember that we just don't go there to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament, but to recognize his presence in us, that we are also adoring him in us. Not that we are God, but his presence in us, who sustains us. And the perfect example to that one is our Blessed Mother. So I would like to share with you a passage here from day 19 on the meditation of Our Lady. And this is actually talking about the incarnation of the Lord. And why do I like to share this? Because for me, the coming of the Word, the incarnation of the Word into our Blessed Mother's womb, to me, is kind of like similar to the Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit coming down, the Holy Spirit coming down into the womb of our soul, the Word coming down into the womb of our Blessed Mother's soul. So there's a parallelism to this one. So it may not be the Pentecost, but the incarnation is just like us, like that. So I would share with you what our Blessed Mother is teaching us. So this is what Our Lady said: I pronounce my fiat, and oh marvel, the two fiats fused together, and the divine Word descended into me. She's talking about her human fiat and the divine fiat fused together, that there is no longer separation, not even a shadow that is detectable between the two fiats. And then she said, my fiat receiving the same value as the divine fiat from the seed of my humanity, formed the tiny little humanity which was to enclose the Word. And so the great prodigy of the incarnation was accomplished. I will expand, I would like to expand our imagination and mind to this one, again, from the theology of the body. As one of the sisters mentioned here about the marital relationship, which should be the image of the relationship of the Holy Trinity and the relationship of God and the church being the bride. We are the bride and the church is our groom. So with this image, we heard from Christopher West, great speaker, by the way. He said that the woman receives the gift from the seed of man. And the man is the giver. But this doesn't mean that the woman being the receiver, that doesn't mean she is passive. That, okay, I'm just going to wait for him to give me something, the seed of life. I'm just going to be passive here. No, both man and woman have active participation. He gives, she receives. And in that way of active participation in the woman, we of course, in divine will, not the kind of crazy things that we do now, but in divine will, pure, in that receptivity, she actively participate, that in return, she's able to give to the man the fruit from her womb. So not only that she receives, but she's also able to give to the man. And the man gives, and he also receives the fruit from her womb. So both are givers and receivers, but in a natural sense, with distinction here. The woman has womb, the man has seed. So if we understand this correctly, this is the image of the church. We, the church, receives this gift of the Holy Spirit, but we cannot just be passively sitting there and doing nothing. We receive, but we ought to return it to the Lord with fruits. And the best fruit is living in the divine will, submitting our human will, fusing our human will with the divine will, so that the Word of God is incarnated in our humanity. And when he is incarnated in us, all of our acts affects past, present, and future, because in Jesus, there is only one act. And these problems that we're facing right now, it's no longer going to affect us the same way than when we don't live in the divine will, when we live our life outside of grace. Because through our acts in divine will, it repairs everything. It changes everything. It transforms everything. And it fulfills the desire of Jesus Christ. What did he say? Oh, how I wish the whole world is inflamed, consumed with fire. That was mentioned by the homily also. Like these little light, little flames in our hearts, when we all listen, and if only we do what we are supposed to do, it can set the whole world on fire. The fire of love, the fire of unity, the fire of peace, the fire of understanding. And what a joy that would be.
That is, it's so startling what you just mentioned. It's so deep, really, because you know, the imagination also is so important. And it's an easy formula. It's active and it's passive. We have to know when to sort of defer it. I think St. John of the Cross speaks of it. I think it's the 11th stanza, but I'm not quite sure. He talks about it. And I think Father Annuzzi's book in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, he gives an example. He says that Louisa began, let's say, the Christmas Novena, her first periodical that she wrote. She started with her own imagination. Active imagination. And then she drew a delineation at some point in time that she recognized that she's basically, in layman's terms, she maxed out her imagination. So now she had to take her active imagination, place it into a passive mode, and allow God's active activity now to take it to the next level. That's how we entertain getting into that contemplative state. Something we can't climb there. We can't open a door and say, I'm in the contemplative mode. No, it's a grace from God. But there's a process, very simple. Start with us, first foot forward, like you said, sister, and then let God take over. But we have to be able to give him the reins. We can't just keep hanging on to it. Here, you can take it, you know, back and forth. No, we have to say, here, I've done what I can here, humanly. Now I need it divinely. That's exactly the divine will if you think about the transition.
Can I say just a little bit something? I think the Holy Spirit wants me to mention this as well. We have a new member in our community. We've decided to add a little bit member here. We have a new postulant here. Sister Meg Marie, our little cat here. And the reason why she loves doing all activities. She likes to pray with us when we go to Adoration Chapel. She goes in there. We chant. She also sometimes wants to go, meow, you know, like as if she's singing with us. And we go for a walk, you know, to do a rosary walk, and she walks with us. And we really feel, and Sister Christine mentioned earlier, you know, with Meg imagery here. When we see Meg, she doesn't do any work. She doesn't help us with the chores. But yet, we just look at her face and her little acts that is insignificant to humanity, you know. But we have so much joy just watching her, so much love for her, so much tenderness, just being the cat, just being a cat. She doesn't have to be anybody else, just being a cat. And we thought, this is like us in God. When we go to the Blessed Sacrament, we don't have to be somebody else. We don't have to really change who we are. The Lord is looking at us. We don't have to be able to do anything big at all whatsoever. Just being me, Madalena, Glutzy, you know, whatever. All the goods and the bads in me. And he just looks at us. Oh, how cute. Look at her. Oh, see, she's so adorable. You know, that's what God feels. And if we can feel that to Madge, how much more the Eternal Father? So that I think that would be a really good to ponder too, that we tend to forget how beautiful we are in the eyes of God.
True. I have a quick question though. Who's the sister that's going to sew the habit for Mitch?
I'm planning to actually make her a postula outfit, but I haven't figured it out yet. Well, actually, her last name is Chirliano, so it's father's last name, because father had her from the beginning. So she her last name is father's last name, but she's definitely our name, Sister Madge Marie. Madge is from the word Medjugorje. Mm-hmm. So, but she is an adorable cat. Oh my gosh, we'd never thought that we would fall in love with a cat as much as we love her.
God has a wonderful sense of humor. Sisters, we're almost at the end of the hour, but I'll give everyone the last, you have a few, like a closing 2 minutes, if you have any closing thoughts you want to say or any pondering remembrances as we take our
I would say let's be on fire with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you have heard the song, There's a Fire Started in My Heart from Adele. It's like, let's be on fire, you know, like with the Holy Spirit, and just let it be, and yeah. Fire starting in my heart. It's from Adele.
Very good, very good. Well, you know, we can always cut a CD and maybe use it as a fundraiser, sisters. Well, we thought about that a couple years ago. Really did. So
anything else that you want to say closing? Any sister just
seen
that closing word?
Yeah. So I was actually thinking about saying something about imagination. So it's really beautiful you brought it up. And that just really reminds me of how, like, it's kind of like what we listened to in TOB, like how the devil twists like God's creation, like because the devil doesn't have his own clay, so he twists what is good, making it bad. And that also reminds me of like why the devil is so much after the human imagination. The human imagination, it's meant to like glorify God and like bring us closer to him, whereas the evil one wants to twist it. And it's so important to ask the Holy Spirit to help us discern like which imagination is from him and which is not from him. So yeah, just the power of like fusing our imaginations with God and the divine will. So with our imaginations kind of going from like active to passive, we can kind of like live our heaven on earth. And yeah.
Do you have a second
before Christine? Oh, of course. I had a different song in my head. It was like, set us ablaze with the fire of your love, God. And I just feel like that, you know, the Lord wants us way more than we want it to be filled with him and possessed by him. And ultimately, like, this is how the Lord, through the intellect, through the memory, through the will, can transform us into being the flames of his love throughout the world. And, he wants you. He wants each soul. He wants everybody to be on fire.
So true. So true. Well, that's great. Well, we had a wonderful day today. I actually, many instances during today, I felt like I was sitting down with the four little Mother Gabriels. But it was quite nice. I'd like to end, if I may, we'll use it as a prayer. The words of our Blessed Mother on this Pentecost Sunday, day 30. In the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our mother explained to us, quote, "Now you must know that as my son departed for heaven, I remained together with the apostles in the cenacle, waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were all around me, clinging to me, and we prayed together. They did nothing without my advice. And when I began to speak, to instruct them, and to narrate some anecdotes about my son, which they did not know, as, for example, the details of his birth, his baby tears, his loving traits, the incidents that occurred in Egypt, and so many wonders of the hidden life in Nazareth. Oh, how attentive they were in listening to me. They were enraptured in hearing of the so many surprises and so many teachings that he had given me." End quote. That's Our Lady. She's here. We're living the second Pentecost. I truly believe that. This is the third coming. And for any Catholic who thinks that's heresy, it's not. I'll send this out. We don't have time for it, but I'm going to show it on the screen quickly. These are the three comings of our Lord, stated by St. Cyril Jerusalem and St. Bernard of Clairvaux. I'll just read a quick one here just to get an idea of where we are and the importance of what God is doing right now in each and every one of us through this gift of the divine will. This is St. Bernard Clairvaux, church doctor, about 1100. He says that we know that there are three comings of the Lord. The third lies between the other two. It is invisible, while the other two are visible. In the first coming, he was seen on earth dwelling among men. He himself testified that they saw him and they hated him. In his final coming, all flesh will see the salvation of our God, and they will look upon him whom they pierced. Here it is. The intermediate coming, which I believe is now, is a hidden one. In it, only the elect see the Lord within their own selves, and they are saved. In the first coming, our Lord came in the flesh and in our weakness. In this middle coming, he is our rest and consolation. End quote. And I would be remiss if I didn't just say St. Cyril's quote. Quote, hidden coming would let, the hidden coming would be interpreted by the Middle Ages as that period that spans between the first coming of Christ, of course, which happened 2,000 years ago, and the end of the world, the final coming, which has not happened yet. This is God in our midst. This is not just a one-day Pentecost. This is a journey of a Pentecost that we're not sure how many years it's going to take. We're in the midst of it, and he called us. Thanks be to God for that. I'm going to now allow everyone to unmute themselves if they'd like to. Let me just get to that toggle right here, and we can say goodbye, Avia, saying ciao. We love you, sisters. Yes, you may unmute yourselves now if you'd like to say goodbye to the sisters. Love you, sisters.
We love you.
Happy Pentecost.
Happy
Woo.
Pentecost, everybody. Bye,
thank you.
Happy Pentecost.
Happy Pentecost.
We love
thank you.
You
for your prayers.
And Eucharistic revival in the U.S. Yes.
Yes.
Today.
See you there.
Jesus is going to change the world.
Thank you, sisters.
Thank
God bless you.
You.
Yes.
God bless you. Thank you. We love you.
Have a blessed day.
Blessed day. You too.